Hello, dear friends. Carol Side here with an important message from my heart. I'm sorry to say that when the founders of the homeschool movement died, their messages actually died with them. We don't want that to happen with Homeschool Made Simple. To that end, we have recently become a nonprofit ministry and are working hard to ensure this simple, inexpensive, and enjoyable method of educating our children will continue for many generations to come. If you and your family have benefited from our ministry, would you consider partnering with us financially? Our board has told us that monthly commitments are extremely helpful because they allow us to plan for the year. But one-time gifts here at the end of the year are also very much appreciated. As you pray together daily as a family, would you pray that the Lord would bless and guide us as we look to the future? And please visit our website, homeschoolmadesimple.net/donate, to partner with us in this next chapter. We can't wait to see what the Lord has in store. Blessings.
If you could do one thing to improve your family's homeschool experience, what would it be? If you said reading together, you're on the right track. In today's episode, we're talking about the power of reading together as a family and some practical tips for how you can start to make that change in your family life. You're listening to the Homeschool Made Simple podcast. This is a podcast to help you homeschool simply, inexpensively, and enjoyably. I'm Rachel Winchester, a fellow homeschool mom using this method with my own three kids. In this episode, I'm joined by a special guest, my husband, Jesse, to talk about what reading together as a family looks like in our home and share some of our favorite books with you. Listen in. This week, I have a very special guest on the podcast who you may have heard before, but he is someone near and dear to my heart, is Jesse Winchester, my husband. Hello, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So something Jesse does really well is he reads to our kids every night and has been doing it for quite a while now. So he has some experience under his belt. So I thought we could ask him some questions about how he's read aloud to the kids over the years. Maybe you could first share with everybody how many kids we have and their ages and stuff like that.
Hi. Yes, we have three children, Benji, Lucy, and Caroline. Benji is 9, Lucy is 7, and Caroline is 4. And so, yes, I have been reading aloud to children now for over 9 years. So it's been a lot of fun. It has changed a lot over the years as kids have grown and gotten older and interests have ironed out some, you know, and, you know, we obviously weren't reading to an infant the same time as we were reading to a 5-year-old. So it's changed, it's evolved, and I would love to talk about that. Benji, we started reading aloud to him like from birth, pretty much. I mean, you know, just reading aloud in our home. And, you know, he's a boy, so his interests are very boy. So the things that he likes to read, he loves animal, you know, like kid and animal books, you know, boy and his dog kind of stories and boy and his horse kind of stories. And at the end, I'll go through a little short list of my favorites that we've read with all of them. But, a lot of our reading aloud has, you know, who we did it with and at what time of the evening and everything. A lot of it depended on who was sleeping where and what time they were going to sleep and everything. So there was a time where it was just, you know, me and Benji reading together, me reading to him out loud his favorites. And then, you know, you add in the sister who was then old enough to be read aloud to and be attentive through that. And they shared a room for a while, you know, so I would read with Benji and Lucy for a time before they went to bed. And then now Caroline's old enough to be in the mix and, you know, makes it through what we're reading before she falls asleep. And so now it's all 5 of us in the bed, you know, reading before they go to sleep. So it kind of has just depended on who was where, who was sharing a room, who was going to bed at 7 versus 8, or, you know, all those things.
Yes, I think I remember it really changing. A big shift happened when I was pregnant with Caroline and we were preparing to have our third baby. And we kind of made a change to our nightly routine. That means Benji and Lucy were 4 and 2 at the time. Mm. And I think that's when you really started leading bedtime more so.
Yes. Yeah. We had to make that change just because our lives were about to change, you know, from going from 2 to 3. So yeah, I took the reins on bedtime, you know, all the way from, you know, after dinner, bath time, the silly song to get them to get in the bath. And then, yeah, from there, all right, we're all going to pile on the bed and be read to, you know, we have a time where they tell what they're grateful for that, from that day. We pray together, we sing the doxology together, and then I read to them. So yes, that's kind of our bedtime routine. And then it's kisses and hugs and lights out. And you know, Benji listens to something now until he falls asleep, but the others are ready to sleep.
Yeah, there was one point that we felt bad for Caroline, our youngest, because she was, you know, that was in the last year, I guess. So she was maybe 3 and we were feeling bad that she was not getting picture books read to her by daddy in the same way that the other two had. And so.
Yeah. Oh, that night was so sad. And it just, you know, it does everything you try doesn't work all the time. You have to, you know, punt and try something else. Yeah. I was like, I had this grand idea that we were going to, you know, put her to bed?
Yeah, you were going to take her into her.
Put her in her own bed. I had been reading to all 3 of them. We were going to put her in Lucy's bed. And I read picture books to her so that she had that same special time with dad that the other two got when they were little. And then I put her to bed and went to go read with the other two. And she was distraught. She was like, why? What did I do? Why did I get put to bed? And now I don't get to read with the others. So as you have more children, you kind of have to, we've learned that we've had to change routine a little bit and include her as the, you know, the baby of the family. Include her with the big kids. And then you read picture books to her during the day.
Yeah.
Before rest time. So she still gets her daily dose of good illustration.
Yeah. So. She gets picture books, but just not in the same way. So it doesn't even look the same with every single one. And then Lucy, our middle child, wasn't even really ready for chapter books at the same time, the same age that Benji really enjoyed them. And so you read to the girls nursery rhymes and different picture books for a while. And then that gave you special time with Benji to read more dad and son books.
Rite of passage literature. Yes. Yes.
Yes. Because he is definitely boy to the max, like a rugged pioneer. What Daniel Boone must have been like as a boy or David Livingston as a boy. So he likes those sort of books. So what would you say are maybe some of the challenges of family read aloud time?
I mean, I'm tired at the end of the day and I don't want to do it sometimes, you know, and that's just real. And I would rather go do my own thing and, you know, read my own book or something. But that time is just, it's so important that the challenges of it. I mean, you know, I get frustrated when they are not just listening to, clinging to every word that I read. And, you know, it's, they're wiggling and they're, you know, talking while I'm trying to read, or they're, you know, it's just all the, like, you know, just classroom dynamics of like trying to do something and everybody's doing something else. But they're, you know, the reward of the time is so much, like it outweighs the challenge of it so much. And it's a part of my day now. Like I get up in the morning and leave for work, and all day I'm thinking about, all right, you know, I'm planning for mentally for 7 o'clock when dinner's done and they've played a little bit more, you know, played a little bit more that day. And then now it's bath time and, you know, do the routine. And then I get my, you know, I get my time when they're in bed and, you know, I'm not, you know, having to be on and reading to them or something, but it's so worth it. And it, you know, you just look past the I'm exhausted from my day and realize this is my higher calling is here in my home. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great. I mean, I think there is definitely wiggles or things like that, but then you also just set the expectation and they really look forward to it. It's really like the high point of the day to all sit together on the bed. That's what we do at this point now, is we all lay on our bed together and you read. And so I would say it's really like the high point of the day. And then when they don't get to do it or something like that, how would you say, I mean, we don't really have very many conflicts that keep us from doing it, but how would you say we protect that time, or why would it be important to protect that time?
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, they'll spend the night with grandparents, or they'll, you know, I'll work late and they'll go to bed before I get home, or whatever happens. But even when you have been away or traveling, like, we still do that. And we still, it's still a part of the day. Now, there might be, you know, tears that mommy's not there, but it's still something that we do. I just think it's so important, because I do think about a lot of times, like, I want them to one day have a family bed that they lay on with their whole, you know, family of 20 that, you know, they just, I want a lot of grandkids, but, you know, I want this to be something that when they move out, it's like, wait, I have to do that. You know, like we read together at the end of the day and we pray together and we're together, you know, we're not all just dispersed to and fro. So I think the protection over that time is really important to me. And I make a point to, like, I mean, down to the logistical aspect of, like, I don't have a job that keeps me out later than 7. Like, that's on purpose, you know? And it's like, it's really important to me to be home for dinner and for, you know, and I know not everyone's in that situation, but, you know, I think that time with the kids, and it's not just we read because Carol says we should read. It's we read because this is really enriching for their little minds. And then it's also like we have inside jokes as a family about, you know, how crazy the things in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory are, because, you know, and it's not inside jokes that are based on just like whims of the world. It's like these are really great books that people have put their life into that we then get to glean some character from. So it's, that's why it's important to me.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great.
JJ Side here with an update from our ministry partners, Crossway Books. Their new Lives of Faith and Grace series has got me really excited. I'm holding in my hands the story of Katie Luther, the nun who escaped to true freedom. Beautiful graphite illustrations throughout the books, maps, timelines, bonus sidebars, study questions, options for further reading. These books are highly entertaining, highly informative, and they're going to hold the attention of your 8-year-old, your 13-year-old, as you read about heroes from church history. And nothing is assumed. Vocabulary is defined. Things are described in interesting ways. You learn a ton. You have fun. Everything that I was able to read today in this series got me really excited for cracking these open with our kids. You can pick up the books in the Lives of Faith and Grace series wherever books are sold, or visit crossway.org/livesoffaith to learn how to get 30% off with a free Crossway Plus account. I'd like to take a minute to tell you about the math program our family uses called CTC Math. Last week, I was home on a day off, and I had the pleasure of watching my 8-year-old son and my wife working together on their CTC math. And I just found myself all over again enjoying how simple and engaging and clear the online videos were, the worksheet that I got to help him fill out, the way in which they got to check their answers and track their progress and look at their grades. I get to see all of my kids with their totally unique and different personalities, each engaging this math program and having fun doing it. So I can't commend it to you highly enough. There's even a 50% discount for homeschool families. You can go to ctcmath.com to learn more.
So maybe you could share a few of the, we could start with, like, when they were younger, some of the books you enjoyed reading when they were younger.
Yeah, this has been my favorite thing about homeschooling and reading with my kids as I've gotten to go back and kind of read some of the things that I wish I had read when I was little. and, you know, I was read to and we read a lot, but then, you know, just get a whole different like approach now. I think one of the most formative authors that we've read, especially when they were little, is Lois Linsky. I love all the smalls, you know, Policeman Small, Cowboy Small, The Little Auto, Little Airplane, all of her books. They're just so, so dear. And just you really learn early on what a family is like, you know? And
yeah, Papa Small. Maybe your library have it.
Papa Small, yeah.
If not,
they're harder to find.
Kind of expensive. Right. And I'm afraid to say that there are board books of some of them, but then the board books are abridged. So, I recently, and I guess a year ago or so, got Lois Linsky's big, big book of Mr. Small. And so it's a collection and it has the full unabridged text and pictures of many of the small books. I think it was maybe $20 on thrift books. But if you get the hardback of some of them, like we have the hardback of The Little Sailboat, and that's also unabridged. So, I mean, the board books are still sweet. It's just once you read the unabridged version, then you realize how much is missing from the board book.
Yes. I did love when you found that unabridged version.
Yeah.
That's great. It was like eye-opening.
Yes. It changed our lives.
I would dare say my favorite children's author is Robert McCloskey. Burt Dow, that one, you got to kind of get into character with it a little bit. But it's a lot of fun when you do that. Make Way for Ducklings, One Morning in Maine, Lentil. I mean, we've cherished these and we've given these as gifts to every niece and nephew and, you know, just about everybody that you can think of.
Blueberries for Sal.
Yeah. They're treasures for sure. Marguerite D'Angeli, Yanni Wondernos. What are some others of hers?
There can be longer, but we read The Hannah.
Yeah, these are a little bit longer. So I would say, you know, our kids have probably been four, you know.
Yeah, up to six. No, even so. Six, depending on if they, some kids really like chapter books early on and then others don't like them until they're a little bit older. So it just kind of depends.
Yeah. E.B. White. Well, this is as you get a little bit even older then.
Yeah. Maybe talk about when you and Benji read together by yourself. Some good, if it's a dad with boys or like one boy where he has some time to just read with his son.
Yes. Wilson Rawls, Where the Red Fern Grows. That's one you got to read with your son. You can read it with your daughter, but if you have a son, read it with him. Fred Gibson, Old Yeller. That one's great. Benji still would love to listen to this one, too. That's a thing, too, is if it's something that I'm going to read with them, they do not listen to it on an audiobook before I read it to them. Because I don't want them to have a voice in their head when I am trying to do characters.
Yeah.
So he didn't listen to these because these were important to me. These were like formative when I was little. So I do love those too. The Billy and Blaze series by C.W. Anderson. This was a lot of fun for Benji and me to read. So there's five books in the series. Billy and Blaze, Blaze and the Forest Fire, Blaze and Thunderbolt, Blaze and the Mountain Lion, and Blaze Shows the Way. So it's a story, a series of this boy named Billy who gets a horse named Blaze, and he meets and our kids love horses, so it's been a lot of fun. We don't have horses, so we kind of live vicariously through Billy.
Yeah. And the drawings are really very good, too.
Yeah.
Great illustrations.
C.W. Anderson wrote and illustrated those. Benji and I also read together Charlie and the Chocolate Factory and Charlie and the Great Glass Elevator by Roald Dahl. These are interesting, and they're nothing like the movie that you saw. So It's just fun. It's a fun read. And it's one where you kind of read it and you'll look at each other along the way like, what in the world has happened? If you've ever read anything by Roald Dahl, you know what I mean. We also just finished James and the Giant Peach.
Yeah, we read James and the Giant Peach, and you read The Twits one day per JJ's recommendation.
Yeah, that was a JJ side recommendation. Yes, interesting literature.
I can only really handle him in little doses, like a book at a time, and then have to move on to more reality-based.
Reality.
Yeah.
To pepper it in. But Benji and I went to the Greenville Theater and saw Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Yeah.
After we read that. So that was fun to have that experience with him. We went and watched a stage remake of that one.
Yeah.
Another Robert McCloskey, Homer Price.
Yeah. Chapter book.
Yeah, that's a chapter book.
With his illustrations. And there's a second one, Cinnaberg Tales. And we haven't read that one yet, but we liked Homer Price. And then you read some Gary Paulsen, I think, with Benji as well.
Yeah, these were, so Benji and I also have ended up, after the girls go to bed, then Benji's still going 100 miles an hour. And yeah, Gary Paulsen, Hatchet and the River, we've read so far of the Hatchet series. And this is just like, rite of passage, like boy becoming a man kind of stories. And I read these in fifth grade.
Yeah.
And so.
Yeah, you probably have to really know your child on some of these, because if they are a more tenderhearted person, then some of these stories would need to wait for later. But then if they're a really not super tenderhearted person, still like caring and empathetic, but not, you know, easily disturbed by difficult situations or, you know.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like I read Hatchet with Benji, but I wouldn't read that with Lucy yet.
Right. Yeah.
Because, you know, it's just
yeah, you got to know your audience.
For sure.
So then once it was all of us together, so like a 3-4-year-old, 6-year-old, 9-year-old all together, then we kind of have tried to do things that would appeal to everybody and stories that everyone can keep up with.
E.B. White wrote The Trumpet of the Swan and Charlotte's Web. Those are like every kid is ready to go to read these like as soon as possible. They're great and just really wholesome stories. So lots of fun with those. Okay. This is like a heart. These are heart books is what I'll call these with our whole family. The Sarah Plain and Tall series. So there's Sarah Plain and Tall, there's Skylark, and there's Caleb's Story in that order, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
By Patricia McLaughlin. They're awesome.
Yeah.
And just really great stories of a family in hard times that is saved by a woman who's plain and tall, you know? And so they're just really great. And there's also...
There's two more, but we haven't gotten to those yet.
Yeah.
So we can't speak to this.
But I'm sure they're great.
Yeah, maybe those.
Yes. Mountain Born and A Place for Peter by Elizabeth Yates. These are great boy growing up on a farm situation and, you know...
Especially with sheep and... just different things that he encounters, having to protect the sheep or do different jobs that have to be done or different things. The whole family enjoyed that, though. Everyone enjoyed it.
Yeah.
It has little illustrations throughout it.
Yes. Yeah, these are great. Next, I mean, this is a big one, but have we read this twice with them?
I think a couple times,
So Dangerous Journey is the story of Pilgrim's Progress. It is, a kid's version of the full Pilgrim's Progress story.
Yeah, the text is actually taken from, it's excerpt from the actual, you know, writing.
Yes. Yeah. And so whether you've read Pilgrim's Progress on your own or not as an older child or adult, this is a good one to read with kids because it's, the illustrations are really great on this one. This is published by Erdmann's Publishing Company, Grand Rapids, Michigan. So look for that one find it. That's a good one to read. And then our current read is we're working our way through The Chronicles of Narnia. And that's another series that everyone has loved. Even Caroline, you know, as a 4-year-old.
Yeah.
She's loving this. So yeah, I've never read these before. And so this has been really great to go through with the kids. We're kind of all experiencing it for the first time together. You've read some of them, right?
Yeah, I've read some of them and listened to some on audiobook, but they're good. And it's kind of nice we can read one or a few and then go read something else. I get burnout on series. So yeah, I like to just...
Me too. And the kids do too.
So we kind of read some and then leave it alone for a little bit and then come back to favorite authors or favorite characters and things and get some more.
This was not an exhaustive list of what we've read together, but this is what we walked around the house and found. So yes, these are some of my favorites though that I've read with the kids.
Yes. Well, thanks for sharing. I think that people will be really inspired and encouraged. And would you want to pray for families and dads as they read with their kids?
Father, thank you for every ear that will hear this, and pray blessings upon them and their home. I pray for the men who will hear it, the dads, and that would be an encouragement that we can be a part of this homeschool journey and a really meaningful part of it. And just pray that the allotment of time would be made and that the priority in each man's life would be that his family is well shepherded, and that would be his chief aim, is to love the Lord with all his heart and to love his family with his time and his energy and his efforts as a dad and as a husband. And just praying for each child and for their journey through homeschooling and through their education, that you would just continue as you have been and as you are right now, growing minds and expanding them to love books and to love to learn and to love to serve you and to impact this world that you've given us to steward. So in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Homeschool Made Simple podcast. If you like what you heard in this episode, please leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, or share this episode with a friend. It means so much when you help us spread the message of Homeschool Made Simple with others. Thanks for joining us this week on the Homeschool Made Simple podcast. Remember, Jesus' commandments are not burdensome. What he calls you to do, he will enable you to do. Blessings.